Bible now, please, and go with me to Mark chapter 5. You know, I travel nationwide, people. I observe a lot as I do travel, and of course, if you watch the news, what I'm voicing is nothing new to you. But we are finding our nation literally falling apart at the seams. It seems like our young people are just such an epidemic with drugs, alcohol, pornography. It seems like our political situation, there's such a devastation in our nation, and people really are searching. And you know, they wonder how they could ever, you know, I guess the main thing that most folk are crying out about is they want to have peace in their lives. I guess you would want to have peace in your life, you know. When you think about these terrorists and the things going on in America and across on these foreign fields, you want to be a person who would have peace in your life. And you want to know, you know, what is the answer for your life? Well, in Mark 5, we find the account of a man, a very unusual man, that I really believe is really going to show and reveal a lot of our nation today. But more than that, it may reveal you, lady. It may reveal your life, man. And I'm going to show the answer for your life, not only for the nation or the world, but for you. I want to read Mark 5, 1 through 5. Look at it, please. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's pray, and I'll bring the message. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be our God tonight. May we make clear the message from the Word of God, that people can clearly understand and see what you have provided for them. We ask in Christ's name, amen. In the account which I just read to you, we find a very unusual man. And the very first thing the Bible shows you is he had no peace. The Word of God says he cut himself with stones. He plucked the chains asunder. He ran throughout the tombs a wild, naked man. This man had no peace. But also the Word of God tells you in this passage, this individual had no purity. The Word of God says in verse 2, he had an unclean spirit, which means this man was demon-possessed. And this man's life of no peace and no purity is really a condition of millions upon the face of the earth tonight. First of all, we know our nation has no peace. We look at our teenagers and our college students, and this is shocking, and yet it's true. As I'm speaking right now, there are literally thousands of young people cutting their lives with drugs, anarchy, and immorality. We turn our eyes upon the adult population, and many adults are cutting themselves with the stones of materialistic gain, of lust, and of sin. And we can say on the authority of the Word of God that most people have no peace within their lives. But also, we're a nation void of purity. Now, those of us as adults, we should be concerned about the air, land, and water pollution. However, there's a greater pollution that most people are not aware of. And that is the spiritual corruption that we're seeing in our land. We have never seen the emphasis upon sin like we have in the last few years with the homosexual movements, the lesbian movements, the pornography, the drugs, and the alcohol. And the Bible tells you it will get worse. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Job 15:16 says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Galatians 3:22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Isaiah 1:6 says, from the sole of the foot even under the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. So congregation, like this man, millions tonight have no peace and no purity. And that could be your life. You really don't have any peace. And you don't have any purity. And yet, what was the answer for this man's life? Well, the word of God shows you. Look with you, please, in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now stop right there. Tonight, we could take anyone on the face of this earth, put any individual in one of three categories, and show you the answer for any individual, regardless of where they stand. First of all, there are people who are religious, and yet they have no peace in their lives. In the New Testament, there's a man like this. His name is Nicodemus. This man knew the codes of Judaism. He was a very religious man. And yet, when Jesus Christ saw this man, he saw a life of religion, but a heart empty of God's peace. And Jesus said to him in John 3 and verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that was said to a religious man, not a drunk. But second of all, there is another group. And that's individuals who are searching for God's truth. I personally believe I was in that position before God saved me. When I was 15 years of age in West Virginia, I literally took a plate of food, went outside, raised the food in the air, and I said, dear God, take the food. What was I trying to do? I was trying to find God. That's what I was trying to do. Could it be there's someone here tonight you're really searching? But John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But what is that truth? The Bible gives you the answer. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, truth is not found in a catechism, a baptism, a confirmation. No, truth is found in a person, God's Son. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, if you're searching for truth, your answer's found in God's Son. However, there's one more group. A third group is the individual who lives his own lifestyle. No one ever pulls the reins back on your life. No one ever tells you what to do. There's a man like that in the Word of God. But one day God spoke to the man's heart. And the man said in Acts 16:30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the men of God declared in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So you see, regardless of who we are, religious, searching for God's truth, living your own lifestyle, over and over the Word of God tells you the answer, coming to Jesus Christ. And this man came to Christ. When he did, I want you to observe what the Lord did for this man's life. You know why? Whenever any individual comes to Christ, Jesus Christ will do the same thing for you that he did for that man 2,000 years ago. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in Acts, God is no respecter of persons. You are the object of God's divine love. He loves you as greatly as he loves me. He'll never show favoritism. And when this man came to Christ, look at Mark 5 and verse 15, what happened. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. Underline the word sitting right there and look at me. Before this man came to Christ, the Bible says he cut himself with stones. The Word of God says he plucked the chains asunder. He ran throughout the tomb a wild naked man. This man had no peace. He comes to Jesus Christ, and what is the first thing you observe from the Bible? He is sitting. He now found peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know, before God saved me, well, the night I got saved, I was 17 years of age. And that very night when I got saved, when I went to bed for the first time in my life, and God is my witness, this is exactly what I did. I put my hands like this across my chest. I thought my chest was going to burst. The unusual peace that flooded my soul. I now knew when I died, I'd go to heaven because Christ had saved me. You see, the Word of God tells you in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace. You know what? You don't find peace in alcohol. You won't find peace in drugs. And you won't find peace if you're a multimillionaire. You'll only find peace when you come to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, the Word of God says, he was sitting, look back in verse 15, he was sitting and clothed. Underline that. His life was now drastically changed. Before he came to Christ, the Word of God says he was naked. Now the Word of God says he comes to Christ, he's now clothed. Look at me, here's a profound truth. When a person comes to Christ, God always works inwardly. You first of all will have the peace with God through Christ, that we shed blood, that was shed for you on the cross, and he rose from the grave. Then outwardly, there'll be a manifestation of what Christ has done for you. He was now clothed. Whenever a person comes to Christ, he will change you, sir. You can't do it. You cannot do it, lady. Only Christ can change you. Many years ago, I was out in Kansas and had a meeting out there, and a professional baseball player was in my meeting. As a matter of fact, he was the most valuable player in the World Series in 1983 for the St. Louis Cardinals. And his name is Darrell Porter, the catcher. And so Darrell Porter got saved. Not in my meeting. He got saved before I was there in the meetings. But he wanted to take me golfing. And so we'd go golfing. And then coming home, he wanted me to see, stop by his house. And he wanted to give me something. He gave me the Darrell Porter story, which is the book of his life. He told me personally, he said, you know, Jerry, I led the major leagues with the most fights for 2 years. And he did. He was a wild man. He said, Jerry, I got on a kick with alcohol. And he said, I became a very heavy drinker, and that didn't satisfy me. And so therefore, I turned to drugs. And he said, I was on a $10,000 a month drug kick. And he said, that didn't satisfy. He said, so I led the leagues in fights. I then turned to alcohol. That didn't satisfy. I turned to drugs. That didn't satisfy. And a friend of mine invited me to go to a church, and I heard the Word of God preached, and Jesus Christ saved me. He said, Jerry, this book I'm giving you is my life story. All of these black marks in here are curse words I had to mark out. His mouth was a filthy sewage. And every cuss word, he said, that's curse words, Jerry. I had to mark it out. He said, only Christ could have changed me. Well, I've got news for you. You don't have to be a professional baseball player. He can change you too. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My friend, Christ will change your life. This man was now clothed. But third of all, look back in verse 15. The Word of God says he was sitting and clothed. Now get this shocking and powerful statement. And in his right mind. Now, please, no one need the auditorium right now because I'm going to come on strong with you, okay? And I'm not backing down an eyelash, okay? Look at me right in the eyes. If you're unsaved, lady, hey, sir, if you're unsaved, listen to me, you are out of your mind. Now, how do you like that for direct preaching? Huh? Now, just a moment. I didn't say you're off your rocker. I didn't say you're 10 bricks short of full load. But I'm stating this to you, you are out of your mind if you think for one moment you can live your life without Jesus Christ and one day not pay an eternal consequence for that decision. You are out of your mind. There's a book that brings home this great truth. It's a fictional book, but it's a powerful illustration. The book is called Dr. Faust by Christopher Marlowe. The main character, Dr. Faust, one day had a conversation with the devil from hell. And the devil said to Dr. Faust, if you give me your soul in hell for all eternity, I will now give you 24 years of pleasure on this earth. Dr. Faust began to weigh that very, very heavily. And finally they had another meeting. And Dr. Faust said to the devil, Lucifer, if you give me 24 years of pleasure now on this earth, I will give you my eternal soul in hell. The contract was drawn up. Dr. Faust, with his own blood, signed his eternal soul over to Lucifer, the devil. And when he did, immediately, he had everything that a man could enjoy under the face of this earth. Great wealth. Unusual pleasure. He enjoyed everything that you could enjoy. And yet, the 24 years began to go by quickly. And then soon, the last year was upon him. And then, the last night. And on the last night, Dr. Faust, well knowing the devil is going to come back and take his eternal soul to hell, as the clock began to strike 12 midnight, Dr. Faust cried and said, it strikes! It strikes! Her body be changed into little drops of water and fell into the ocean, never to be found. My God. My God, look not so fierce upon me. Ugly hell, gape not. Come not Lucifer. For the devil came and took him to hell. Wouldn't you say that man was out of his mind to sell his eternal soul for 24 years of pleasure? What about you? What about you, teenager or an adult? What if you become a multi-millionaire? You have every pleasure on this earth and die without Christ. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When I got saved and my dear mother got saved and my father got saved in West Virginia, one night we were in our kitchen talking. I was 17 years of age. I turned to my mother and my dad, and I said these exact words. I said, Mom and Dad, I wonder why I didn't get saved sooner. I must have been out of my mind. You know what? The greatest decision you ever make in your life is when you come to Christ. That is the greatest decision of your entire life. Because what you do with Christ will determine your eternal destination. And this man had no peace. He had no purity. He came to Christ. He's now sitting. He's clothed. He made the right decision. I would pray tonight you would do the same thing. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our dear Father, thank you for the authority of your wonderful word that shows us how you deal in the lives of individuals and what Christ can do. Lord, may your Holy Spirit do his office work as we give this invitation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. They're going to play a song of Just As I Am. Before I do that, let me say this. If you came to my home in South Carolina to see me, I would never embarrass you in my home. I would try to be a gracious host, and my wife Sharon would be a very gracious hostess to you. From this pulpit, I never try to be a trick artist. I never try to con people. I try to be very straightforward with you. I'm preaching the eternal word of God to you tonight. You say, Jerry, as you preached, you were describing my life. I have no peace. And I'm ashamed of my lifestyle. No one knows my life, but I know what you preached is what I needed to hear. I don't know Christ as my Savior. Could Christ do that for me? Oh, yes. Jesus Christ has never turned one person down. In John 6:37, Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He won't cast you out. He loves you. That's why he died for you, my friend. That's why he rose from the grave, to help people like this man in Mark chapter 5. Or help you here where you are. So as they start playing the piano right now, Just As I Am, our heads are bowed. You say, Jerry, you know, I don't know how to do this. Well, I would like for God to know that I'd like to know how I could come to His Son, Jesus Christ. I really would like to do that. In a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'd like to invite you, sir, if you never allowed anyone to take the Bible, or you, dear lady, or you as a teenager, to step out where you are and come down to the pastor. When you come, you will make a speech. You're not going to join the church. No, you're coming here to let someone take the Bible and take you in a side room and show you how you can call upon the Lord and let Christ save you. My friend, if you come to Him, I'm telling you, regardless of what category you may be in out of those three, Christ will not turn you down. He will save you. So what I've got to do, well, when we stand with the heads bowed and our eyes closed, you just make your way down to the pastor and say, Pastor Dave, I want to let Christ save me. And you'll thank God that you came tonight. Our dear Father, now take the authority of your word and bring people to Christ. May they realize the peace that you want to give them, how you want to change them. Make them know they made the right decision for all eternity. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand with the heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Pastor Anderson's in front here. As they start playing the song, Jesus says, come unto me. Would you step out where you are right now? Would you come to Jesus Christ? By faith. You've got to step out by faith. Just step out where you are. As a young lady, as a young man, would you come right now to Christ? As an adult, would you make your step in your heart and say, yes, I want Christ to save me.